In this episode, I'm talking to Mikey Spice. Join me now.
Come with us on the Being Imperfectly Perfect journey, where Anna brings to you guests who have overcome challenges and often their own thoughts of self-doubt and criticism to accept who they are, allowing them to live the life they really want.
Hello and welcome to this morning. I have Mikey Spice with me, although we have a little bit of a thing because he's in my, I think I'm the only person who has him in my phone as Mike Spicer. So over to you, Mikey Spice.
Mikey Spicer. Listen, man, listen, thank you for having me on your show today.
You're most welcome. And tell us, introduce yourself, tell the listeners a little bit more about you. And I suppose why you're here on the show with me today, why I've invited you.
Yeah. Firstly, I go by the name of Mikey Spice. I've been in the fitness industry from I would say probably 18. Soon as I left, I was always in fitness. Ex-National League basketball player, then straight into fitness. I work with people now to help them regain their confidence, to look and feel great naked, or get them in the best state on how they see themselves, you know, every morning when they look in the mirror.
Love that.
I'm located in Birmingham, but I also have online clients as well. And I also work with people one-to-one and in the small group.
Amazing. And we first connected, Mike and I are both in the Elite Closing Academy with Matt Alwell, and that's where we first connected. Actually, I think the first time I actually physically met you was at the barbecue in the summer, and I think you'd been seeing my lives in the group, and you were like, "Is she actually really like this in real life?" I don't think you quite believed it, did you? I was actually how I come across our lives. So talk to me a little bit about what being imperfectly perfect means for you.
What it means for me that there is no perfect. What it means that you can work to be perfect, and it means by showing up and just doing the things the best way that you can until you improve it. I've always been brought up, repetition is key. When I went to my basketball coach and I said, like, "Coach, how do I become a better shooter?" He said to me, "Mike, you need to be in the gym and you need to shoot like at least 150 baskets a day. And from there, you know, repetition will get you better." And I've always taken that on board. Even when I wanted to, when I first got into the sport of basketball, and how I ended up, you know, getting into it was due to a comment, and I really took it serious. Mm. And every time I trained, all I could think about is that comment, and I was like, right, repetition. And I did it until I could actually get the move. I could do it until I could do the move with my eyes closed.
Wow.
That's how good I wanted to be able to have that repetition and feel it through my body.
Wow. And that is dedication. And I think certainly in today's society, it almost feels like consistency. Is something that feels harder to achieve. And I'm not sure what's changed or what's different. And I think it might be even the fact that now just everything is so instantly available, you know, this whole kind of instant gratification. Whereas what I'm hearing is back in the journey, you were really striving to be the very best that you could be. And as I said to you earlier, the guests I'm bringing on are people who are maybe reforming perfectionists, maybe, you know, in the past, you've maybe not always had this approach to life of, you know what, I know I'm perfect exactly as I am. And in the past, maybe had some stuff that you've overcome. So what have been your biggest challenges to achieving that consistency, to achieving that level where you could do stuff with your eyes closed?
If it comes to challenges, okay, that I would say that, you know, I've always wanted, I really want to be better with timekeeping. And if anything, that's, you know, that's probably been one of my challenges, and just being consistent. My dad was a very great role model of time. He's probably the first person I ever knew that basically he lived I mean, he worked an hour and 30 minutes away from his workplace. Wow. And I remember one morning he woke up, his car got stolen, and he made it to work on time.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. If it was anybody else, the car would have got stolen. And you know what? They probably even turn up to work. Yeah. Let alone turn up to work on time. So that's always, you know, my dad was a stickler for great time. I was very bad at time. I was always one of them. Okay. But just having that thought of my dad in my head, of like, you know, he wouldn't be late for nothing and he's like always on time. It makes me want to be better at my timekeeping and organising my time.
I love that. And I know that, you know, even the conversations we've had in the past, because when we had a conversation, we did a live on Instagram a little while ago, and you were talking to me about this concept of your, you know, you actually had to stop. Your brain was telling you to keep going and your body was actually like saying, you know what, I've got to stop now, because you were almost like training too hard. So talk to me a little bit more about that, and actually that almost like what maybe could be considered perfectionism kind of gets in the way.
Yeah, yeah. Just saying that, I was having a conversation with somebody about that as well, because like we are always close to burning ourselves out. Mm. And yeah, I did a few days where I did Tony Robbins, and at the same time I wasn't that well. And I battled through late nights, early mornings. And then, and on top of that, I was training as well. I was trying to get my training. I was in the challenge with somebody. And, you know, when you mix sleeping, burning your energy when you're doing a lot. And then at the same time, Matt Tony, am I eating that great? Because I'm sitting down in the lectures are long. Mm. And, you know, I burnt 3 candles and I said, don't ever do that. And then after I come out of Tony, I had to do something. I had a family member pass away.
Oh, no.
And my mum asked me, would I take her to the event in London for the person's funeral? So I came out of Tony, and plus I had my work stuff. And then I went to support my mum, in which I had to leave work and drive to London. And I ended up getting to London at something like, I think it was because of road closures, something like 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
To get up. And yeah, and that sent me, that little bit sent me over the edge where I got sick again.
Yeah.
And then from there, my body, I could tell my body was telling me it felt different. Mm.
Yeah. And even with what you've just said, almost like this concept of the, you know, the saying, the straw that broke the camel's back, it's never the thing, is it? It's no, that one thing that sends you over the edge is not actually usually the thing that caused it, as it were. So what are your top tips from, you know, coming from this place of fitness and that's what you do with your clients and you're helping them to achieve that. What are your top tips for someone who goes, you know what, I'm not quite happy with where I am at the moment. They may be beating themselves up and they've maybe got some stories, because I know you are big on moving into the, you know, that side of things as well, working with the mind as well as the body. Mm. So what are the top tips you would say as a starting point for those people?
I've got a format called Desire. And that's what I've always used. And I said that life is about discovery.
Love that.
And you need to discover, first of all, where you're at first, if you're good at something or you're not good at something. Mm. And it's all right to be wherever you start from. And you need to own it. Mm. Because the next stage of desire is about setting the standard. And like I said, if you do it and you realise you're not that great, if you set a standard to say, right, this is the worst I'm going to be, there's only one direction.
Love that.
Repetition is going to get you better. It's going to get you into improve. And then we look at next stage is A, put an action plan together. So what does it look like? If I'm going to practice on this, then put some time aside that you're going to, you know, it could be 15 minutes, it could be 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be all in, but just put an action plan of, you know, when you're going to look to do, what you're going to look to do and when you're going to look to do it. And then the next one is just refine, you know, refine the process. And this is what I'm living in a lot right now. I want to be a better timekeeper. But however, I know what my actions are. So I look to put my actions in place. And then I'm just making these small adjustments to refine the process. And then at the end of it is the E to evaluate.
Yeah.
And then you just keep on evaluating where you're going and seeing your progression. Like last night I was up and I was looking at like where I've come from regarding my strength training and even business and my mindset. And I'm only making small adjustments. But those small adjustments like this, they mean a lot to me because that's what I'm taking as gratitude. I'm not looking for this. I'm looking for this.
Yeah.
I seen somebody's post and like they're like way ahead of me. And you know what? I looked at it and I was like, it's inspiring. I wasn't jealous. Yeah. I seen it as inspiring. And I'm like, right, I need to, you know, discover a little bit more and put more action plans in so that way I can slowly make my gains. But I'm making gains. And that was the main thing to me.
I love that. I love that you're focusing on the gains because I think we can spend so much time in actually beating ourselves up for not doing it rather than actually just being aware, hey, I'm not where I necessarily want to be. And actually, here's the action plan. And I say to people all of the time, actually, when you realise where you are, when you have that realisation, huh, I'm not happy exactly where I am. I'm not happy with my life as it is. You've got two choices. Either the thing that got you to notice it, you're going to go, oh, well, it's not me. It's that thing because we're not ready to change. For whatever reason, we're just not ready. Maybe our subconscious isn't ready or whatever, but we're not ready. And, you know, we can be like, oh, well, it's that thing. And then we can move away and we can move back from it. Or we can actually embrace it and go, you know what? Actually, that thing, the catalyst, has caused me to see this and actually move towards that. And I think that's a, you know, that movement is really important. And from what you're saying, that awareness as well, speak about this with my clients, is so key. So for someone who maybe is stuck in those narratives at the moment, because, you know, they are stories, but when, you know, and we talk in coaching a lot about the stories that we tell ourselves, but quite frankly, when you were in that, it does not feel like a story. It feels very real. And you're like, and you can find the evidence that supports it. You know, you can say, well, but this is happening and this is happening. Maybe someone who is in that place, they haven't maybe reached the awareness yet. What would you say to them as that first step of almost like self-acceptance before they can actually really see where they are?
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. Like before you can make any change, you need to be aware of where you're at and you need to accept that this is where it is. I know that it can be hard to accept it because sometimes you don't want to accept it, but it's in the acceptance when you can look at solutions. But if you're in like a state of blame and you're looking for other solutions apart from just accepting the process of where you're at, then it's hard to get started. I'm going to give you a scenario. When I snapped my Achilles.
Wow.
When I snapped my Achilles, I remember the last comment. I was having a race with my apprentice, and we had a free race trilogy. He was something like 18 and I was something like 32. So I had 10 years, like 12 years on him. And he used to hate, like, you know, me winning. And I used to hate, I always found him a great competitor. And I think we had about three races. I won, he won two and I won one. We had four races. I won two and he won two. And we were supposed to have fifth race, yeah, to see who was going to have it. But I snapped my Achilles. Due to messing about with him, I was going to hit with a plastic foam. Okay. And as he carried me out into the ambulance, he goes to me. He goes, Mike, he goes, too bad, man. He goes, too bad. It would have been a great race that I would have won as I'm walking out and I've snapped my Achilles. But I had to learn and rewalk again. Wow. What I'm saying is, in that process, there was times when that was my first serious injury. And my happiness comes by movement And I remember talking to a lot of people and everyone's going, it's not, life is not going to be the same for you, Mike. You know, playing basketball, forget it. And I went in that self-doubt and loss, like, oh, I'm never going to go back to basketball. When I was younger, I only wanted to miss like two seasons and then it fell out and then I'm never going to go back and everyone's telling me all these things. And I started to really feel down about myself because I'm not moving. Okay, first serious injury. I think at the time I'd just come back after snapping my Achilles. I snapped it 2 days before flying out to Rome.
Oh, wow.
So I've gone to Rome on a crutch stick, walked around, come back to the UK. Anyway, I just, you know, I had to go in that place of like, right, Mike, your legs must up. It doesn't mean that it's over. Look at other people who've got through this, okay? See what they did. Start doing the exercises. What do you do for a living? You're a coach. So now I'm starting to, you know, talk motivation in my head. Like, wait there, you're a coach. You help people to get strong back and you can't even do it for your damn self. I'm like, sort your head out, Mike. What's wrong with you? Do you mean? And I started to go through the processes and do everything that I needed to do. Do my calf work, do my movement work. And then I went back to basketball. And a lot of people were like, you actually went back. We thought that you were, that was it. Yeah. And when I happened to do my knee again, same again. I went back to that place of, all right, you sorted out your Achilles. All right, same process again now. You're just going to have to learn and build it slowly. Give yourself a year.
Love that.
Before you start doing anything crazy and just stick to the basics. And you know what? I'm in this state right now, how I am. And I look back and say, I'm so glad I had that conversation with myself because I wouldn't have been where I am today.
Wow. I think that's so important, isn't it? And even with what you were just saying there about that inner talk, and it can be so easy to listen to other people. I say all the time to my clients, you know, when you're asking other people for their opinion, what you're actually asking them for is, please tell me all your limiting beliefs. Please tell me all of the horrible things that you think may or may not happen. Please, you know, give me all of your conditioning and everything that's happened in the past, because oftentimes when we're asking other people as well, we're actually looking for some kind of validation just to validate our own opinions. And I love what you're saying here about actually stepping into that. What do? You coach people. Okay, step up now and do the very best. Be your number one client for you right now. So someone who is maybe stuck in that, like you just said, when that happened, and I love the fact that you did it in actually like messing around with your apprentice, right? Like having these races, not actually like, the, you know, the serious work. But even like in that moment when people were saying to you, you know, like, you're not going to be able to do this and oh, forget about that. And you started, what I'm hearing is you started to believe that maybe, and you started to go to that place. Almost like take yourself back to before you kind of stepped up and went, oh, you know, I'm a coach. I'm going to push myself through this. What would you say to someone who is maybe in that step before, the bit that goes, you know what, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I can do that. What is number one tip you would say to them?
Probably go back to something that you've done before in your life. Something you've done or something and where you had challenges. And then think back to that person who you was then. Because that's what I actually did. I went back to that person who I once was when somebody said a comment to me.
Wow. Love that.
Yeah. Because we've all got moments where, you know, where we doubt ourselves, but we all got moments where we're like, absolute certainty, I'm going to make sure that this doesn't, you know what I mean? I'm going to get my outcome.
Yeah. I love that. And you come across as someone who is very certain and confident. What do you think helps you to come across as that confident and certain person? What are the things that you either tell yourself or that you do or the mantras that you have or the practices that you have that creates that external confidence and certainty?
You know, I'm going to say something. It's probably bad.
But just
I'm gonna
say tell it. You.
All right. I'd rather die trying than not trying at all.
I love that.
Because the thing about it is, my biggest thing is, like, when I just do my core values, my way values, and what it is, I don't like regret. I don't know, like, knowing that I didn't give it my all. And do you know what I mean? And I just let opportunity go away.
I love that.
That upsets me. So what I've tried to do is I've tried to turn it into a plus. Mm. Like, if I don't put my 100% effort, what am I going to feel? I'm going to feel lost. I'm going to feel like you didn't put your effort in, and look what you've done. Do you know what I mean? When you could have gone out and put all your effort in.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know what? I say sometimes I may not get the outcome that I want, but what matters to me is that as long as I turn up and I tried and I got to a different state of mind. Mm. And saying this, one of my clients, I trained him, and he always used to try and compete against me. I was like, let's join it. We'll train together. And I've let him have it in weights. I mean, but he's got really strong.
Love that.
And he's really shaped. He's turned his dad bod into an athletic bod.
Wow.
And he's like, wow. Yeah. But me and him have got the same character. So he goes to me, Mike, come play squash with me. Okay. Now, bearing in mind, this guy's got a hip problem. Okay. So he's got a hip. And we play squash and he annihilated me.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Bet that felt it's awful, still a year. Awful being annihilated for someone with a hip problem. Yeah,
I know. But that's the thing. Okay, it's been a year and 3 months and I still haven't beaten him. I've got more ability in my body. I'm moving around the court. But he's got that mind.
Love that.
I said, listen. I said to him, I'm not beating against your body because I can beat you in body. But I said, your mind strength, that's what I'm challenging against.
Wow.
And that's what I want.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was one game that we had, I was winning. And I was like, yes, I've got the highest points, which is, I got 6 points. And you remember in squash, you got to win the serve. And he had like 1 point. And I was like, Michael, keep it together. You can beat him. This is the one. And I seen vengeance in his eyes. And he came back and he was like, bam, bam. And I was like, I was amazed. I was like, you know what? But anyway, I still got the highest points. I took it like, I got 6 points anyway. I'm winning that. It's still an opportunity here. But just seeing his mindset of he wasn't going to lose and he was willing to focus and he was willing to put all his effort in.
Wow.
That was deep, that was.
Wow. So what I'm hearing there is, like, even, you know, you've been playing squash with him, from what I'm hearing anyway, for a year, and you still haven't, like, beaten him, right? Because, you know, this whole mind-body thing, which I love. And even the times that you talked a little bit then, you know, of maybe not getting the outcome that you really want, what would you say? Because, again, I think now in society, we are maybe in this little bit of a, if you don't get the outcome that you want the first time, oh, just give up. And I see that more. I see that more in younger generations. I don't see the resilience. And even in, we're roughly the same age, I think, anyway. I've probably de-aged you by about, like, or aged you up by about 10 years here. You're like, Anna, I'm like 10 years younger than you.
No, I think we are.
But to someone who maybe gives up quite easily, what would you say? What is your driving factor that has gone, okay, this has not happened exactly how I expected it to? Yeah, what would you say?
It goes back to appreciation. You got to remember, it's all about, can you get to another level? And that's all it's about. Can you get to your mind and body to another level? And then if you do get another level, no matter how big or small it is, accept it, appreciate it, value it, because next time you've just earned a superpower, as I call it. So next time you're going to do it, you're going to get to that standard and you'll be able to go a little bit more. A lot of my people who I train, I teach them the same format. They come in and go, Mike, I want to get to this. And I go, right, this is the process. We're going to, you know, you're going to lift this. And whatever you can do, even if you can do more and you're feeling great, don't do it.
Love that.
Leave it to next week. And then they come back. They have the hunger to come back. And they're like, right, can I do it? And usually by then, the body's had a chance to, you know, the mind's got used to what they're lifting. They feel better. They feel more confident. And they come back and they can do better by one more rep or one more weight. Mm. And I go, wait, only leave it to next week. That's the process. And it's when you look back, you're going to be like, wow, I achieved so much.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't look back to see how far they've come.
Yeah.
They're always looking at the front.
Yeah.
And if you're always looking at the front, then you're just going to be a massive disappointment, because sometimes you do need to look back to say, how far have I come? And give yourself a pat on the back.
I love that. I love what you're saying there, because I think there's two key messages there that I'm hearing. And one is that looking back, but looking back not to beat yourself up of like the things that you haven't done, but actually to look how far you've come. I love that. And the gratitude and the celebration in that. And like you were just saying, in relation to, you know, the appreciation, but also don't overdo it. Actually, when you're feeling amazing and you can feel that you can do more, don't stop and actually come back to it while you've still got that, like, oh, that excitement and that hunger. Because what I see so much is people actually becoming resentful of where they are. And especially the clients that I work with, what I tend to find is they get to this point, and the reason they start working with me is because they're maybe working way more than they want to work. They want to have their business to be slightly different so they can have a different life, whether that's more money, more time, whatever it might be. And so many times when we actually break down and look at their life, what they're doing is they're getting themselves into work. They don't feel motivated. They suddenly get themselves to feel motivated. And because they feel motivated, they promise us, oh, I'm going to finish at 4 o'clock tonight. Because they feel feeling motivated at 4 o'clock, they're like, oh, I'll do a bit more. I'll do a bit more. I'll do a bit more. And I think that's really destructive. And we talk about it. And I said, you're losing trust with yourself. What would happen is if your partner said to you, I'm coming home at 4 o'clock tonight, and didn't come home until 6. How many days would it take before you didn't trust that person? And they're like, well, about like 2. I would just not think they're coming home at 4. And I'm like, well, that's what you're doing to yourself every single time that you do that. So I love that you're saying that point of, you know, leave yourself with a little bit of, I still want to do more, and come back to it. I love that. And actually, just quickly on the whole gratitude thing, I have got a journal for anyone who's listening. I've got a journal that plugs into that, looking at the gain rather than the gap. And it gets you to focus on like offloading your day, letting go of stuff, but then three main focuses of gratitude, aspirations, what work you've done towards your aspirations, and then the celebrations of what you have actually done. Because I think that reprogramming is so key. And there'll be a link in the details here to go to my website and download that. I love the comments that you're saying.
Yeah, I was going to say, on another note, on that sense, like this over the last couple of years, I've taken a foot off the gas on like how many hours I've been doing.
Wow.
Because due to the fact, when I first, you know, became a coach, I wanted to do everything, and I was doing so much, and you know, I had to think to myself, like, why did I get involved with this? Mm-hmm. I love what I do, but at the same time, I wanted to travel. I wanted to have grow. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I've stopped growing. And all I was doing is giving so much. And I wasn't really growing in myself. I'm a lot happier where I am now for actually doing a lot less and being a bit more disciplined now. And, you know, and looking to say, like, what am I doing for the year? Where am I going to go? What am I going to see? Because I think a lot of people, and same with my clients, they all get stuck into, I got to be work, I got to work, I got to work, I work. And then everything's falling around by them. Their health is going. They've got bad skin. You know, they don't see much of their family. And I ask them, I'm like, yo, what was the game of, like, what was the purpose of you setting up a business? Well, it was to have more time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you got time?
Doesn't sound like
it. And they're like, well, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, have you got time for your health? No. And I'm like,
I love that. And, you know, even what we were talking about, almost like this recovering. I said to you, didn't I? There's three things I'm working on, apart from probably way more than three. I'm a recovering workaholic, recovering perfectionist, and recovering control freak. And that workaholic part is so key, because, and I don't know about you, but when you are in your own business, my business does not feel like work. And it can be, I notice in actual fact, and I really check in, I've worked for myself for the last 17 years, and there's been one main focus, and that's doing what I want when I want to do it. I've always come back to that goal. All goals have been secondary to that one goal, doing what I want when I want to do it. The minute that goes away, I'm like, right, I've got to readjust my life. I need to change things. But I know when I focus on my business and I pay so much attention, I've got to grow it. I've got to grow it. My business goes to poop, right? Because, well, in my mind it does anyway, because I'm not actually paying attention to the things that makes me feel amazing. When I'm feeling amazing, my business is doing well. And I think this is a concept that people, and I can see you nodding along, Mikey, but I think this is a real big concept. And I have a mantra: the less I work, the more I earn. Because if I don't have that mantra, I would be working all hours God sends. So tell me about, as we wrap up here, like, let's finish on this kind of note of what's the number one kind of top tip you would give to someone who wants to make that transition and wants to, who is telling themselves, I have to work all of the hours. What would they say? What would you say to them?
I would say, like, listen, you got to ask your question. How are you showing up at work? Are you showing up, or are you showing up and making a statement? Because there's two different, there's two different ones. There's showing up where you're drained out. You know, you're at work, but you can't take much on because you haven't slept much. You haven't ate right. And they're showing up when you step in the office, and it's just like, boom, you're here.
Love it.
You know, your chest is out. You're feeling great. You've done the workout in the morning. Your skin is feeling great. You're feeling positive. And I'll be honest with you, one of my clients, he's got a big food chain restaurant. He's a manufacturer of food. Yeah. And I've seen him. He was somebody that was very burnt out. Wow. And he would be like, I go to work and it's like all the vultures start attacking me, all my staff. We need you to do this. We need to do that. They've got a problem with this, got a problem with that. And I said to him, listen, you know what you need to do? Go to the gym. I'm like, you're the director of your own company. I said, if you're a director, you can't take out time for yourself to make yourself feel good before you go to work. You, like, what's the point?
Get a job, right?
Yeah.
Instead,
And he's like, true. You know what, mate? You're right. So he goes to the gym first thing in the morning. After he drops his daughter off, he goes to the gym, trains. He messages me and goes, Mike, finish my workout. Feeling like $1 million. When he gets to work now, he's a happy guy. When somebody comes in with a problem, he's like, right, bring it on.
I love it.
I feel good because I've worked out, I've done that. Mm. But I had to work and change him because his thing was get out of bed, go to work, feeling drained already. Then the problem hit him. Then he's drained. As soon as we changed it, start training him in the morning and you're feeling good about himself. He goes in, he's like, yes. And I can hear it in his voice. Yeah. That he's so happy.
And that is so different, isn't it? And even that mindset shift, what I'm hearing is that mindset shift of like between, oh, the vultures are attacking me, and actually like, bring it on, I can deal with the problems. That's a subtle shift, but actually the catalyst of what I'm hearing, it was actually feeling good in himself and in his body. So I love that. I think that's so important, isn't it? Feeling good in your own skin. So I love that you've come on today. Thank you. I always love talking to you. I think Paul, bless him, my other half, is like, you know, when I'm chatting to you, I was chatting to you the other night when we were in Paul's workshop, and bless him, he is kind of always like making jokes about us having little chats.
He's all good.
But this is the beauty of it, and that's why we have such a good relationship. Because rather than thinking, oh my god, I might lose Anna to Mikey Spice, we might take her, which a lot of men think, right? When, you know, let's face it, Mikey, you're a fit bloke, right? You were kind of, you know, you're in your prime, right? If Paul's listening, don't worry, darling, I still love you, I'm not going anywhere. We have a joke that I'm not allowed to talk to billionaires with planes, right? Other than that, it's all good. But he feels like he can't compete with someone who is a billionaire and got a plane, a real one, because he obviously has pretend ones. But I'll also get shot for saying that. But but yeah, I think it's because of his inner confidence, you know. So I will end on this, or otherwise we will be chatting all day. But yeah, that inner confidence is so key. And actually not believing you're going to lose something, isn't it? Actually believing, you know what, I'm good enough exactly as I am, because I think that's so key, isn't it? So have you got any final thoughts on that?
Just you know, every year is a chance for you to reflect on yourself. And the biggest thing I always ask myself, like I tell my clients, okay, I know that freedom's a big thing that we're all pushing for, financial freedom and the rest of it. But the true freedom is independence of your own physical ability. And I found out that when I injured myself and I had the money, I had the time, but I didn't have the health. Wow. And I was like, wait there. My true freedom is the ability for me to go to the toilet. If I want to walk down the road and I don't need anybody to hold my hand or do anything for me, that's a true sense of freedom. And that's what we'll sometimes we forget in while we're chasing the money and the rest of it, that really we've got the true freedom right here. And then once you're, you know, you can't walk or you can't do some of the things that you want to do, or you're traveling abroad, you got to take loads of medication, that's where the regret's going to happen. So think about what level of independence you want in a decade to come.
Wow, I love that. And that is such a great note to end on. So thank you for coming on the show today. And have a great day, everyone. Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to be the first to know about new episodes. And in the meantime, check out our community at beingimperfectlyperfect.co.uk. We'll see you next time.